let's break it down.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello. Welcome to Let's Break It Down, an Overwatch League podcast. My name is Amicus, joined as always by my good buddies Riggs and Cavo, and we are here to bring you the latest and greatest in Overwatch League news, plays, scores, and analysis. It is finally the end of the regular season, and we are here to talk about the pre-grand finale, as it were. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Hello.
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. How about you?
I am good, man. Enjoying summer.
What you guys all been up to in the video game world lately?
Well, Overwatch changes galore.
All over the place, man. Like, what is it? Symmetra's live now?
I am thoroughly enjoying the new Symmetra, but I am terrible with her. because I think it's weird they have her marked as like a 2-star difficulty, because she feels like, with the way her teleporter works now, she feels like a Tracer Genji skill cap kind of hero. Like Medivh in Heroes of the Storm, if any of the listeners play that. The stuff you can pull off with that short range teleport, because it's also variable distance too, you can just pull off some crazy plays. And actually, a thing that I keep seeing a bunch of Symmetras do with their alt is put it up parallel instead of like perpendicular to the fight, and then they'll just weave in between the two sides like serpentine. So you can never get like a beat on them. It's kind of weird.
Because
if you put it up like perpendicular, then they can just like run, the other team can just like run through it. But if you put it up, you know, parallel, they can just like weave in between both sides. It's kind of weird.
Very nice.
But yeah, and then the new hero got released today, or announced anyways.
Is that a hero or one of our pets? Because I'm confused right now.
It was funny because the first like post that I saw, it was somebody on my Twitter feed was just like, first furry in Overwatch confirmed.
What?
Well, my son's going to be super happy because, like, he's really been gunning for Ganymede to be made into a hero. And I'm like, dude, it's never going to happen, bro. He's kind of like Bastion's companion. He would never be, like, a hero of his own. But now it's still, like, this tiny little animal. So I think it'll still be, like, in the same ballpark for him. Like, at least it's different. So I think he's going to be, like, thrilled when he comes home from camp this week and I tell him, like, hey, dude, the new Overwatch character is an animal.
Hero in our heart.
I would just be like, hey, you know how we said we were always going to get you a hamster?
Yeah,
Jeff Kaplan did that for us.
So I think he's going to be really happy about that.
I'm just surprised because everyone was expecting, like, we all knew about Hammond. Like, we all, like, if you were in the Lunar Colony zone, you see Hammond's on, like, all the lore on the walls and stuff. But when we're all thinking, oh, it's another monkey. It's another gorilla. So it was like, all right, well, then wonder what they could do with this gorilla. And then all of a sudden you see this preview and it's a hamster that pops out. Like, wait, what? But Blizzard even said, like, we never said it was a monkey.
True, and they never said that the whole lunar program was just with apes like Winston either, you know? Like, you kind of get that feeling based on the chairs that are around the room and some of them. Like, there's really no confirmation that they all are.
My favorite reaction was Monte Cristo, who was like, okay, are we ever going to address the clearly unethical science experiments going on by this guy?
Damn it, Winston. Before the senior, Winston senior. Or something. I don't know. But I'm kind of liking it. My favorite part of the whole announcement of this character is like the emote that copies D.Va's like hero highlight intro.
I love that.
Where she lays on her mech and she's blowing a bubble. He does the exact same thing.
Yep.
I love it. You also got to see your first preview or a better view of the Junkertown Queen. Or Queen of Junkertown.
Oh,
yeah, in the video. In the origin story video.
Now, do we know for sure that she's going to eventually be a hero, or is that just speculation?
I've
heard a lot of rumors, but I mean, I have to attribute that to just speculation right now.
Yeah, I always felt like Hammond would be the one who come out first before she came out.
Well, you're right.
but I always thought he was going to be a monkey too, but that didn't work out.
But yeah, definitely cool stuff. Anything non-Overwatch related you guys been playing or watching or anything like that?
Well, see, I didn't really check out the Overwatch content today because I was doing the new Sea of Thieves content with the new Build Rat faction that they added. There's all kinds of new challenges and stuff going on. So today they added gunpowder skeletons, and there's actually like a timer to gunpowder barrels. So the skeletons can run up to you, light it, and just blow themselves up like suicide bomber style. You have to shoot them really quick, and it's crazy as hell. And there's a achievement that you can get for blowing up 5 skeletons on a fort while it's active, while another crew is on the fort at the same time. So me and my buddy, like, he's a legend too, we were hiding up at the top of a fort, and we waited till another boat came along, and we just kept sniping the gunpowder barrel skeletons when they're in big groups and getting commendations to get to our 20 for it. And then we ended up taking over another crew, and we had like a little fleet going. It was crazy.
Good times. Nice, man.
Mm-hmm. But, nice. Yeah, Megalodon attacks all over the place now, and it's gotten nuts on that sea, dude. You guys should check it out.
I've got back into some RPGs recently. I was watching a new streamer. His name's Roguebard, and he was playing Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars on stream.
Yes,
and I don't care how old it is. I love the hell out of that game. So I was watching it, and he was ending it, and I'm like getting excited over watching these like RPGs. I'm like, you know what? I haven't done on stream in a long time, an RPG. So I downloaded Tales of Symphonia, started playing that. That's a lot of fun, especially like getting to like because some parts they don't have like actual voiceovers, so you have to like dub it. And just dubbing over it for the stream and stuff is pretty hilarious. But I also downloaded Final Fantasy VII because I never finished it. And so... Well, I feel it's obligated to do it.
I'm an 8.
Well, I've never even... The only Final Fantasy I've ever finished was 10. That was it.
That's good.
I mean, 10's good, but that's the only one I ever like, got or finished or got close to finishing.
Like, that was what I picked up in the Steam sale was new JRPGs to check out.
Mm-hmm. So I've made it a thing. So like every Wednesday now is going to be an RPG day. So
nice.
So Tales of Symphonia, I'm going to play that until it's done, and then after that I'll start Final Fantasy VII, and then try another RPG, and then go back to Final Fantasy VIII. So you don't yell at me.
If you want to do because you just reminded me of this, talking about that stream. If you want to do like an old school kind of RPG, Paper Mario was always one I loved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love Paper Mario. That's a good one. It's not as much loved by me as is the Mario RPG from the first one, but it is still a lot enjoyable. It had very different story elements. And the thing is you can get away with doing ports of them. So like you can do like emulators, and the only thing they'll get you for is like if you play it on stream, you have to have at least a copy of it, and they won't like get mad at you, which is fine because I have technically 3 copies of it. So
nice.
The Super Nintendo version, I have the one on my Wii and the other one on my Wii U. So
nice.
I have all 3. But I am so freaking getting a Switch now ever since the whole Smash Brother roster announcement.
Yeah.
Freaking Ridley? Okay. Freaking...
That's pretty sick.
Freaking Daisy? Fuck yeah. And all they need to do is put Geno in there, and I will be like, this is the best Smash Brothers game ever. That's it.
Okay. Well, I'm just glad they brought back my girl Wii Fit Trainer.
my rep at work says October, November.
What, for Smash Brothers?
Yep.
No, it's December 7th.
That's what she was telling me. Like, we'll have it in the stores by October, November.
No, it's Nintendo announces December 7th.
I understand that, but we'll probably have it there already.
Maybe. So. But
That's what I'm planning to buy my Switch to.
But I also, in Blizzard related news though, I've been leveling my High Mountain, and now he's at level 102, and I had to stop today because I got the quest to go to Exodar, and I'm like, I'm not gonna do that today.
I hate that.
I'm gonna stop.
What are you gonna main in BFA?
Oh, I'm still maining my mage. Like, there's no way he's gonna be downgraded. But I've been having a lot of fun on my monk, and just playing like Windwalker has just been a lot of fun with him. I've also started leveling a Disc Priest, and then realizing how much healing sucks.
Dude, I love healing. The problem is you're playing a Disc Priest.
I know. I had to apologize.
Play Holy or play like a Resto Shaman or something.
Yeah, but I like the hybrid DPS heal aspect of it. So
it's such a pain in the ass, though.
I like Disc Priest, but I don't know what it's going to be like in changes in BFA.
I don't know, but I haven't leveled him too much. I've been more focused on my High Mountain, and probably even... I don't even know if they're going to do a pre-patch like XP events like they did for Legion, because for Legion they did the invasions and you could just power level your alts through that.
Yeah, I've kind of wanted that too, and that's kind of what I've been waiting for, because no offense, I've been really burnt out on Legion. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to like BFA, and I think like I'm gonna still kind of main my death, but alternately I think my main alt I'll be playing a lot. Kind of have a feeling I'm going to be siding with the shaman on this.
Shamans are fun, man. I have heard, though, like with every expansion, that they are a complete dumpster fire right now, but they will be fixed.
But I don't know. Like I said, I think I could have fun with the shaman, like little goblin shaman trying to... Like, his whole thing was voodoo anyway in my little roleplay story for him, so I think, like, the Zandalar is, like, perfect for him.
You roleplayed?
You know, to, like... Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Come on,
Oh, shit, but, that's right. I actually I'm not on Wormrest anymore.
Why?
Yeah, that's right, you traitor. Stormrage, man. You know how much that would cost me to move with your server, dude?
So, how'd you know I moved? Did I tell you that? My
No, I can see it.
You see in your B-nets.
Oh yeah. I kind of reconnected with my guild from Burning Crusade, defunct for a few years, and we started it back up. So there's people I've been raiding with for like 10 years, and when I played in BC and Wrath, Stormrage was about 70-30 alliance, and now Stormrage is like 98-2 alliance.
Wow.
It's the most imbalanced server in the game.
That's horrible.
That's cool.
But luckily with Cross Realm, you don't really notice it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we are like the only Horde guild on Stormrage.
Well, you're definitely not going to notice it in the next expansion, because the PvP servers and PvE servers are now the same now.
Yeah.
But I, speaking of like reconnecting, I reconnected with some old friends of mine who made an RP guild. And so I've been back over there developing story and everything, which felt kind of cool, because I missed a lot of those guys and I had to leave originally because of my work schedule. But thankfully my work schedule now is accommodating to their stuff. And so, thankfully, like I got to get back and do story, but, yes, welcome to Let's Break It Down, where we talk about everything other than Overwatch League.
Well, I was going to say, I kind of, in my current state, need a guild. So if anyone needs a main tank, you know, let me know. I'm very good. I'm experienced.
Wait, are you leaving 1%?
It kind of is disbanded. It's not, I mean, it's there, but it's not doing anything.
Well, dude, it's pre-expansion, man. Everybody
No. It's been, like, made official. Like, we're really not going anywhere.
Oh, okay. Well, that's sad.
I mean, I want to keep raiding, so I kind of have a feeling I gotta start thinking about maybe moving on and finding a new guild. So if anyone has one, let me know.
You know, the whole, I mean, you know, at least as long as everything's like civil, when like, you know,
yeah, no, everything's disbanded. Cool,
like, when I left, I said there's no hard feelings, guys, and I'm still friends with y'all, and I still will do stuff with you guys outside of the game.
It was literally,
like, I'm not in 1% anymore. No,
yeah, no, like a week after you left, Gooch kind of made the announcement that he he was just kind of like over the idea of running a guild and
Running guilds
organizing. It does. So it's hard. Rough.
I mean, I did it with him. I mean, I was the right hand guy and it felt like a job for a while there, and it's rough. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of one of those things, like, I'm glad I can maybe go back to just, like, raiding and not have that kind of pressure on me anymore.
Plus, you know, as I get older, I can't stay at my computer playing games all the time. Like, I've got, like, when I was in college, this is bad. I spent probably 12, 13 hours in a row playing straight through, like, in Wrath of Lich King. Of course, that was also the best time to do it, too. But
oh my God.
Nowadays, it's like it's like 2 hours in. I'm like, my back hurts. I got to get up. I got to stretch.
Everything. Dude, I remember the midnight, like when the servers flipped for Wrath, I was at the Zeppelin Tower and I got on the very first Zeppelin to go to Borean Tundra.
Mm-hmm.
Crashed.
You crashed?
No. I remember the server crashed because I made a death knight.
That
just went down, like the whole thing.
Yeah, well, that like, was the first mistake, dude. Man.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You know I made a death knight.
but for BFA,
Overwatch.
Though.
Overwatch.
Oh, yeah. Right. Overwatch. Overwatch is cool too, guys. It's good.
I think I'm gonna main Tracer in BFA. I don't know about you guys.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna main D.Va in BFA.
Oh, officially, I'm a Widow main now.
What?
About 13 hours more on
Did
her.
You kill your husband?
Else.
Oh
no, she finally surpassed Soldier for me.
Damn.
Like by a lot.
I am a main now.
Nice. Gonna be right.
I mean, I've been playing nothing but Symmetra today. That magician skin from the anniversary looks so good on her.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Zatanna, man.
I'm probably gonna play the hell out of Hammond just because he's funny. Just like all it's gonna be is a big pinball machine is all it's gonna be. It's gonna be amazing.
All right. I'm going to jump us into some games because we're going to talk about Warcraft and Overwatch and everything. Or no, we're not going to talk about Overwatch. We keep going. So it has been a while. We're about 2 weeks late on this, but playoff spots on the line, teams vying for those last couple of spots. LA, both teams finishing out real strong in the regular season. Gladiators with a 4-0 over Shanghai. Shanghai completing the 0-40.
They did it. I didn't
know if they were going to do it, guys.
They did it.
They made sports history.
They did it.
It kind of makes you wonder how far it's going to go. Like, are they going to come out swinging in season two, or is it just going to be like this?
This is an active stream, man.
Dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. That's just out of control.
Yeah, I don't think the last time I've seen a defeated team was the Detroit Lions like a few years ago. At least me. Obviously, it's probably happened since then, but.
Well, it happened to the Browns in the last season, too. But, I mean, yeah, before that, it was, you're right, the Detroit Lions. Like,
right.
I mean, it doesn't happen often that you go 0 in everything in the season.
Like,
Go ahead.
No, you ain't good.
I actually saw a really interesting stat. Where Blizzard posted on Twitter who has the deadliest Dragon Blade, like who got the most ult kills with Genji, and Otto was like number 3 in the league. Like they have good players. They just make communication mistakes. They're not on the same, like whatever the reason is.
Some of their strategies were a little weird and some were like really simple and easy to counter. I mean, they can't do that. They need to play more aggressive.
Well, the good news about that is they've got a whole year to worry about it.
Yeah, they got an entire off season now to try to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And I'd be working every damn day to like practice. I was like, I don't care if you gotta call out of school and stuff. You're gonna be practicing the hell out of this today. Wait, that's not how they sound. For some reason now they're owners Southern. I don't know.
You're sick.
Okay. Yeah.
But Gladiators started out, Valiant started out the week strong against Shock, like 3-1. That's pretty solid for them.
I was surprised to see the 3-1 Seoul win over Dallas.
Yeah, that was the one that kind of shocked me of the day too. Like, no pun Dallas intended. Has been tough.
Now Houston, on the other hand, though, like they had, this was their week. They had to win both of their games in order to even come close, like getting into the not the stage finals, the overall playoffs.
And damn it, if they didn't put up a fight, man!
Oh my God, did you see Linkser's face when this was all done? Yeah, they were all
pretty devastated.
Ooh, I think he was crying actually.
Well, I mean, skipping ahead a little bit, but that 3-2 loss to New York, like, that, like, could not have been any closer, man.
Well, like, the sad part is, and I hate to say it, but they really needed to take these matches, like, 4-0 in order to guarantee their spot to go.
Well, guarantee, sure, yeah.
And assure that other teams lost. And, I mean, the 3-1 start against Philly didn't really help.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a chance, but they had to, like, Philly had to lose both of their matches, which they didn't. They won one against London. And Houston had to win both of its matches, which, unfortunately, they didn't either. They lost to, of course, New York. So, but,
well, I,
you know.
I thought it was kind of poetic that Houston's last two matches were the same two teams they played on the first week of the season. And they lost both those matches. So yep. Philly on the first day, because remember, nobody knew what Philly was like because we had never seen them play in preseason. And they came out, they won 3-2, and then New York beat them 3-1.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they still won against Philly this last week of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, man, you can really tell, though, like how much a lot of these teams, especially the ones who are going into the finals, with the exception of probably New York, we're all like feeling like stress. Like if we lose even like one or two matches, we're fucked.
Well, no, I mean, Valiant was kind of sitting pretty. I mean, they had clinched; they knew they were going to be in a top seed.
Yeah, but they're not sitting as pretty as New York was. Like New York knew they were fine. So I had a feeling like when they lost against Boston, like they was like, ah, okay, it's a loss, whatever. We're still fine.
I'll give you that.
Though the one against Houston, that was like, okay, you guys should have been more like not focusing on coasting. You were, which I don't think they were, on the Houston one, but still.
Kind of seemed like Seoul did against the Gladiators, though. I mean, like, what the hell were they thinking? They were another team that really needed two wins, you know, to even have a shot at the playoffs. This, like, losing to the Gladiators just basically handed the Gladiators their ticket to the playoffs. And, you know, I think did the unthinkable with Seoul not even making it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if you would have asked all of us, like, going into the start of the season, three of the teams that we all thought were going to be in the final are not there. You got Seoul, you've got Dallas, and you've got Houston. All three of those teams, I could have sworn that they would have been at least in the playoffs. But no, so Houston was rocky start, but ended up finding its stride until stage three kind of effed it up a bit. Dallas, don't even get me started.
But what was that stage four, man? Like Brigida completely turned four, that team around.
Yeah, stage four did a lot of good things for Dallas. And I mean, hats off to him for at least finishing the season on a win against a tough team, against Valiant. Like, that's rough right there. Like, to see what they were dealing with to start the season and to come out with that in the end, like, that's pretty good. Like, good job, guys.
And then Seoul. Like, everyone is overhyped Seoul. Like, we were like, oh, it's Seoul. Dude, they're going
to
be good.
That's still the biggest shock to me is that they didn't make it into playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Throw Jaehyung.
Yeah, same here.
Like, it felt like they were the best team in Apex, like, consistently. That was the only Korean team I'd ever heard of before Overwatch League.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Except Team South Korea in Overwatch League, World Cup. But that's another story.
But Philly finished strong against London. San Francisco had, you know, probably the easiest closeout to the week.
Except the Valiant, but that was about it.
But, so, you know, then the Mayhem, crushing week to end the season, losing two. They're like an insanely talented team that I hope will do a lot better next year.
Yeah, a lot of these
have some better strategies and stuff.
A lot of these teams are going to have to, like, go back to the drawing board and look at how they're going to affect. Also, not only that, you've got, what, 6 months until preseason starts? So, or less than that? So now you have, like, about 6 months until something else changes in the game. For example, Hammond is coming in the game. You also don't know who else is going to get reworked. So whoever gets reworked and how is it going to affect the gameplay?
It's safe to say that with the announcement of Hammond now, the work of him being dropped into the game and being patched at least once probably by, you know, the start of next season, it's easily safe to say he's going to be a character you will be playing from the start of next season. Like,
yep.
So,
and actually, if they keep the same, three-month cadence, we will probably have the hero after that too.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and that'll be like considering. Okay, it'll probably be in stage two or three.
Junkertown Queen's coming, guys. Just wait.
I just want Jetpack Cat.
Jetpack. Just put Jeff in the game. Just put Jeff in.
Or Mama Hong.
Yes.
Ooh, Mama who again? Say that again.
Mama Hong.
Mama Hong. Ooh, who's she?
She was so at BlizzCon this past year. They had a panel with Jeff and I forget the guy's name, but one of the lead character designers, and they were showing their like pitch deck that they pitched
out. Oh, Michael Chu. Michael Chu.
Yeah. And they just showed this one slide where they just had like 50 sketched out characters for like, these are characters we could include. And one was this like diminutive, like Asian grandmother named Mama Hong. But she was like a crime boss or something like that. I can't remember.
Nice. That'd be cool.
You know, it would be a really cool thing to like, I don't know. This is just me, but like having a benefit for being MVP of the Overwatch League is whoever like is crowned the MVP, like that person's name is put in as like a character in the game or something. Just imagine if like you had an MVP, Pine was MVP, and then all of a sudden a character 3 months later, there's Pine as a player in the game.
I would like to see some more esports stuff, though, kind of like how Heroes does it, where you have, like, banners or, like, team-specific mounts or stuff like that. I would definitely love some more opportunity for, like, team-based stuff in the game.
Yeah, I think it'd be very cool if they had... it would all depend on, like, what they could implement and what other things they could add. But I think, like, you know, starting with giving them each their team jerseys is all obviously... start so you can tell them apart. And then the other thing is I don't remember who suggested it, but they said if you want like a perfect marketing campaign, make it to where each team, whoever sponsors them, make it to where when they throw down a tag somewhere, it's the person that's sponsoring them. Like if the T-Mobile's sponsoring, throw down a T-Mobile tag or something on the floor.
Sure.
Little marketing gimmick. So
yep. But some other big kind of storylines from the week. Gladiators definitely had a great week. They took both wins in both their matches, taking the 3-1 over Seoul, officially kind of knocking them out of playoff contention. And Dallas had a pretty respectable week. Getting the three, I mean, they lost to Seoul, which was kind of surprising, but getting the 3-1 win over Valiant that's looked so strong the past stage and a half was really huge for them. And I think was a big help getting them into this stage four playoffs.
Just seeing the comeback of Seagull, Taimu, and Mickey just, you know, finally banding together and coming back, this whole entire stage has just turned this whole team around and become who they were supposed to be at stage one.
Well, and especially just, I love seeing Taimu get his confidence back. Like when he is just fully confident, he's just popping off headshots like they're nothing. It's pretty awesome to see.
Oh yeah, It's a lot of fun to watch. Also, I still think that Mickey needs to do his hairstyle like Cool Matt's. Like they saw in the picture. Like, because, don't get me wrong, he's got an iconic look, but at the same time, if you see, like, his hair waved back like that, like Cool Matt's was, it looked really good. Like, how the pink at the tips and the black at the base, that is a really...
Grow it out a little bit.
That is a really good hairstyle. I was like, you should have kept that, man.
If I ever go to Overwatch League Live, I think I'm just going to do, like, a Rockus cosplay. Like, he's got that super distinctive hair, and I'm going to put, like, two, like, couch pillows in my pants. Like, in the back. No. And I might write, like, thickest on my butt.
No. What we should do, I'll go with you. We just get a big-ass pair of pants we're in each side and just, like, walk like each other. Jesus, it's like, what man. Is that? It's Rockus's booty.
We're not that close. Yeah, so great week for Dallas. Great week for Gladiators. Philly took the 3-1 over London. Shanghai completed the 0-40, dropping the Shock, who looked really good this stage. They kind of had a similar kind of trajectory as Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of did that kind of like dovetail up at the end, but better to end on a high note than a low note.
And of course, Boston also closing out Florida season.
Boston to me is one of the weirdest stories of the season, because like they were kind of like very middle of the pack, then they were kind of upper middle of the pack with Dream Casper, and then that whole, you know, disaster happened, and that was crazy just in itself. And then you had mistakes and the whole like perfect stage, and all of a sudden they're the best thing to ever happen to Overwatch. So they go from like middle of the pack, high middle of the pack, top of the pack to like the bottom of the pack, where they almost had a winless stage.
And it just goes to show you how much each patch change for each stage really can fuck up a team.
Yeah.
Except New York, apparently.
New York just has it dialed in.
Mm-hmm. But with that, the regular season came to a close, and the title matches started.
Yep.
So.
So we want to talk about the stage playoffs?
Yeah, let's go into it. So we had a battle for LA to start it right off, which...
I mean, pretty unsurprising that New York would pick Dallas to play over either of the LA teams.
Yeah, seriously.
But they didn't get out swinging. Like, both of the first two matches between both Los Angeles teams and Dallas and New York were all 2-3 victories. Like, or 2-3 battles, 5 maps.
Wasn't really expecting that. I mean, I was in the LA one because, I mean, the Battle of LA, they always kind of, Gladiators always put up a great fight, but Giant usually just kind of takes the cake. Wasn't expecting Dallas to put up as much of a fight as they did against New York, though.
I mean, if they had a stage where they could do put up a fight, it would be this stage. And they did end strong. And, you know, like we said before, like this whole stage, they finally come together and they finally impressed a lot of people. I think it was even Monte Cristo said something like that had like it was either him or Doha that said when Taimu made his popping off streak, like he said, oh, he's back.
Like, it's the old Moo.
It's the old Moo. But
yeah, absolutely. And I mean, as somebody that's like ragged on Dallas Fuel this whole season with the best of them, I never watched Old Envy. I never watched any professional Overwatch pre-Overwatch League. I mean, it was super cool to see those players to see why there was high expectations for them, right? Like, I'd never seen Time Moo pop off. Like, that was awesome seeing somebody super skilled do badass shit.
Mm-hmm. And it was refreshing because, like, if you had followed him before all of the changes and stuff, you would have known, like, hey, this guy's really good. You'll see, he's really good. And he never had his chance to actually shine until stage 4. So, finally, but it's a little too late, but at least they went out in a more of a blaze of glory. Glory rather than crashing and burning.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, That's definitely the way you want to finish the season on a high note. Even putting up a tough fight against XL, like not winning it, but knowing you went out there, you put up a fight, you made them earn it. You know, they didn't just go out and stomp. That's something I would be proud of if I was Fuel right now. That would definitely be inspiring me into my next season.
Yep, for sure.
Well, yeah,
definitely. I mean, teams have put up worse performances against XL, so definitely good for them.
Indeed.
And I mean, that's got to feel good just even making it into the stage playoffs after the season that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they can kind of grow and kind of channel that into a better season too.
I think the real shocker in the stage playoffs was how it ended. I mean, you would ask me 2 weeks ago what was going to happen. I would have put money on XL closing out the stage playoffs. Three in a row. Count their money, guys. You're good.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And when I saw that it was going to be New York and LA in the final, and I was like, okay, sure, whatever. I was at a birthday party, so I wasn't able to actually like see what was. Oh no, was I at a birthday party? Where was I? I don't remember. Oh no, I was going to get my car. That's right. but I went and was like waiting for papers to sign, and my dad's doing his own thing on his phone, and I see like the final scores, and I see it's LA winning 3-1. I'm like, what? Hold on, what? So I had to go back and watch it. Like, it wasn't even like stage one playoffs where it was a 3-2 win against London or loss against London. It was like 3-1. I would have definitely expected at least a 5-map series.
No, this was a decisive win by Valiant. Like, this was just them like going in and getting it done. Like,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I never saw it coming.
Mm-hmm.
And they have got their stuff together. They're going to be insane in the playoffs. Like, I can't wait to see what they're going to do in the playoffs.
And yeah. I mean, definitely nice to get a little 100 grand bonus check right before playoff time. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just awesome. On, incentive. It's also very...
and cocaine binge right before playoff.
Oh, God. No.
Cracking Red Bull for the solo queue nights.
Dude, that's iRemix, not anyone else, okay? Oh. That's not... wrong LA team. No, but... I thought it was very refreshing though to see someone else getting the stage four title or the stage title, because you had New York get it 2 stages in a row and they were back in it. So you're like, oh great, they're gonna have 3 in a row. And then Valiant came in and decisively won it. So it was refreshing. But having said that, now we're going into the actual main playoffs.
Where, yeah, and now XL kind of has to go in and, like, lay it out. Like, look, okay, you know, the last stage playoffs was cute, but we're XL. We got to remind you guys of that. We got to go win the grand finale here and take all the cake.
And the layout is a little different this time.
Yeah, did you see the next games here?
Yeah, I didn't watch the, like, the actual, like, map selection. How did that all go down?
I'm not even sure about the map selection, but just like their schedule is kind of insane.
Yeah, so it's from what I'm looking at, it's like the best of 3 matches between each of like the lower seeded teams. So like the number 1 and the number 2 teams, they all play on week 2 and they are playing against whoever wins between like Philly and Boston. Whoever wins that goes to play against, oh god, it's like they, hold on, there we go. All right, so whoever,
well, the winner of Philly and Boston will go on to play New York.
They need to just have a freaking bracket on the website.
They do. It's on play, like if you go to actual, like the actual like breakdown where it says, oh, playoffs right before league, they added that in.
Yeah, okay, I see it now.
Yeah, I was looking at the actual schedule. That's what threw me off.
Yeah, that's what was screwing me up.
So you have you have the number 16 going up against number 3, which is Philly versus Boston.
Yeah, and this is a totally normal kind of first round bye situation.
Yeah, so
yeah,
you got New York, who's who's leading their division, and obviously number one. And then you have number two of the Valiant leading their division. So they get the first round bye. So Philly and Boston have to face three matches against each other, up to three. Whoever wins two goes on and will face off against the Valiant. Whoever wins against the Valiant, or if the Valiant beats their team, they go on to the grand finals. For quarterfinal two, you've got your number five and number four team. You got London going up against the Los Angeles Gladiators. So the response of that matchup will go up against New York Excelsior. And inevitably, whoever wins from that, more than likely New York, will head on to the grand finals in the Barclays Center next month.
I just still think it's hilarious that they chose New York for the finals, knowing that there was like a 2% chance New York doesn't make it to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess that's good for ticket sales, right?
Right.
Like, they already sold out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two of the three of us here are going. So.
But, yeah. Rub it in, guys.
Sorry.
I'm reminded. So I mentioned that graphic earlier about the players sorted by like top ranked Dragon Blade kills. Mm-hmm. I just remembered who was number one on that list. Agilities. So Agilities was, if you're going by Dragon Blade kills, the best Genji in the league overall for the season. And LA Valiant is number two with a first round bye in playoffs. And this was the guy that almost got fired in the parking lot of an In-N-Out Burger.
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
Like I will never let that go because it's still so ridiculous to me.
Right.
Because it's like, how many worse players in the league like didn't get that treatment?
Right. Like, and he wasn't even the worst of the team. And yet he's getting that, if you don't do well, you're gone. Like, wait, when was he not doing well? There's my question.
And then I just also think about, like, if somebody said that to me when I'm, like, on my own with this big opportunity and I'm, like, 19 years old,
mm-hmm.
like, I would shit myself. Like, I would have a complete anxiety breakdown.
It's like that one guy who, I don't know who the Twitch streamer was, but they were streaming and they were doing, like, an IRL stream and stuff. And, like, while they were streaming and stuff, this guy just, like, comes up. He's an old man and starts whispering in his ear, like, if you don't get out of the fucking area, I'm going to get all of my men to come and whack your ass. And then he walks away. And we're like, okay, we're going to stop streaming.
So I actually saw something similar, but it was this kind of ditzy blonde girl that was doing an IRL stream at some like outside cafe, like at the beach or whatever. And she's talking about whatever, you know, bullshit she's talking about. And this guy, this like mid-40s guy comes over and on the camera and like leans in. He's like, you're really not that interesting, and walks off. And she's like, oh, thank you, sir. Jesus loves you.
Here's the thing about IRL streams. Like, I don't, like,
if you don't
I get
have
it.
Titties, don't do it. You're not going to
Well,
do
then
it.
Clearly I can do it then.
It
so,
won't work. You won't get an audience.
But the weird thing about them is even, like, if they're, like 10, it's only just people, like, just walking around talking about nothing. And it's like, okay, you just see some guy walking down the street going, okay, yeah, so we're going over here. There's the park right there and everything. Oh, I thought about thinking about going on that swing, guys. That swing's going to look awesome. How much you guys think I should go on that swing? What do you guys think? Okay. Now,
I need five more subs and I go on the swing.
Five more subs are going to swing. If you want me on the swing, donate 10,000 bits now. It's not it. Now, if you're at, like, an actual event, like if you're at BlizzCon or at the Barclays Center, that's understandable because it's hype, all right? It's about something that's game-related, per se. Or something that's, like, you know, going to be, like, entertaining. But sitting at a cafe doing nothing, that's not entertaining at all.
If I was ever going to IRL stream at home, it would be mukbang, where I would just be like, hey, come watch me eat a cheeseburger.
Well, that counts as ASMR, so...
Oh, yeah, just
you could do that.
Wait, I can do ASMR. Hang on.
I can't even hear.
Now, chat.
Oh my god.
I need
I can't even hear it. Oh god.
Wait, you legit couldn't hear me.
I couldn't hear the whole thing.
Hear me scratching?
Nope.
Damn it.
Okay. You have a really good pop. You have a really good mic cover.
No, so I have a windscreen, a pop filter, and I turned my gain down because my raiders were complaining because I have an open mic when I raid lead. And they were complaining they could hear my keystrokes on my mechanical keyboard.
Oh, geez.
So I turned my sensitivity like way down.
Now, I did do an IRL stream once just because I was bored and was like, I'm going to cook breakfast. Who wants to watch? So I'm in my kitchen. I'm cooking breakfast, but I'm also preparing my like entrees for the week. So like I have chicken there, and my mom showed me how to like tenderize the chicken, so it's like it's easier to
it's so
like,
therapeutic.
It is. Like I know, like, and he goes, "Hey guys,
cellophane and just whack it off."
I know. So I went on stream and was like, "Hey guys, you ready? I'm going to beat my meat." And people kept coming and was like, "He's beating his meat on stream?" So it's surprising how many people would just watch.
People pay bits, man.
If you guys want me to beat it harder, pay 5,000 bits.
God, that was like, you ever watch those old like chat roulette compilations?
Oh my god.
You see the dude like underneath and then he's got like he's got a plate that he's rinsing or whatever. He's like
I love those. So or like good. Or like the guy who did the Call Me Maybe video. Like while he was dressed up as like Carly Rae Jepsen.
That guy has done so many chat the best one was Wrecking Ball. Mm-hmm. Did you see the one that he did for Wrecking Ball?
I didn't see that one, but is chat roulette still a thing?
I don't know. Maybe all the dicks got. Let's find out.
Oh god. Chat roulette live, guys.
But no, he actually like gets naked and actually like has a wrecking ball. It's amazing.
Oh my god.
Chatroulette.com. It's still a thing, man.
Wow. Yeah, we're not. I'm not going on that. No thanks.
Damn, I never did it in college. It's so basic.
I did. I was at a friend's house and we were.
Is it like nothing but dicks?
No. There's some other stuff on that. You see a guy with a dick like stroking. Like it was a game for us because I was at a friend's house and it was a drinking game. Whoever we ended up on chat like whoever ended on chat roulette. If you saw a dick, stroke or if you saw a woman masturbating, you had to take a shot. So every like there was like five of them, and some was like, "I don't drink anymore. I can't say that. No." So,
Jesus,
it was bad.
Anyways,
so Overwatch League, yes.
Predictions. So, forgetting about the dicks and the women masturbating for a second, this family-friendly stream. Let's talk about who's gonna come all over their opponent.
Whoa, this is a family-friendly stream, Amicus. Jesus. Pop my weave.
So we got Boston taking on Philly. It's hilarious to me that even after what a terrible Stage 4 Boston had, they're still ranked number 3. I don't know about you guys, but I think Philly has got this one, like, in the bag.
Unless
Boston has made some, like, drastic, like, Cinderella story, Rocky montage turnaround.
Well, let's also remember, there's, like, still a week and a half left. Almost nearly 2 weeks until this first match between Philly and Boston.
And doesn't that seem a little bit of, like, a long break to you guys?
Well, yeah. I don't mind it because like I get the week off one for the stage.
A new patch?
Oh yeah, so Hanzo's different now. And Symmetra will be different now too.
Symmetra is disabled.
Oh, she is?
For playoffs, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yes. They have officially said she is disabled.
Oh, but, okay. Well disregard
I think,
then.
I think it is new Hanzo though.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be the same patch for the playoffs in general. So for the grand finals as well, I would say if with new Hanzo, I would say I don't know. I think Philly can definitely deal the damage, especially if you get Eco and Carpe popping off, and as long as Fraggy's like you know hungry, they'll be here to win.
Baby, Fraggy is always hungry.
Oh yeah, he's always hungry.
Some of my favorite content of any of the Overwatch League teams is when Philly does behind the scenes with their chef in house.
Mm-hmm.
They have a support player named Joe Meister who has never played in the whole season, I think, but his thing is he loves to cook, so he'll do like cooking videos with Chef Heidi. And there was one where they were talking about how they do it like catering style, like they portion everything out based on the number of people, but she said she always has to count Fraggy as two people.
Yep.
Because the dude is just a beast. Like, he just eats so much food.
I mean, he has to eat for his body and for his beard. So his beard is the separate entity.
He's one of my favorite players, man. Like, he's just... He's a freaking Viking, man. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I've always said... Like, I keep saying I want to go drinking with Fraggy and Swoosh. Those are my two picks. But I wouldn't be able to hang. Like, no. I'd be under the
You'd
table.
You'd be gone. You'd be gone.
Like you see that you know the Reinhardt animated short like in the beginning where he just takes that big ass like mug of beer, that's Fraggy like right there in a nutshell.
And then
like, just give me like a 3 liter like metal stein.
And then when he winks to his co-workers and the comrades and they just roll their eyes, that's Swoosh.
Yeah. But then our other quarterfinal match, we got London Spitfire taking on Gladiators.
This is where I think, like, this whole week is going to be easy. No, it's not. You guys are overlooking something. I mean, obviously, Philly has Boston, you know, by the heels. But LA Gladiators have Fisher now, who has not let London beat him since he's joined the team. Like, this is going to be just two quick games. Like, both of these matchups are going to be two quick games. It's going to be Philly and Gladiators moving on.
I mean, yeah, I agree with Riggs there. I do think LA's got it in the bag on this part here. So, and whoever wins in each of those stages, so let's say Philly and Boston, if Philly wins, they go on against the Valiant, and then LA would go on against New York. Oh God, I do not want to see a battle of LA in in the final, which I still don't think will happen. But
no.
Let's assume so. Our pick. So let's just make sure we all agree Philly's gonna beat Boston.
Absolutely.
Okay. So Philly against Los Angeles Valiant, though.
I think it'll be a very good match. I think that Valiant probably wins.
I think so too.
I was gonna say, yeah, Philly's gonna fight hard, and they're gonna really try.
I would even go so far as to say I will probably root for Philly if that game happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same here. But I kind of think that Valiant is just a really well-oiled machine right now. Like, right, they kind of found that niche like XL has, and I don't see Philly having the strength to take that down right now.
Yeah. All right. So I definitely think Valiant is a shoo-in. They're going to be in the finals. So having said that, quarterfinal, we've all pretty much... Are we dead set on saying Gladiators are going through? Or are we kind of fixed on it? Like, two of us say Glad, one of us is London. What do you think?
I'm all Glad.
Okay, I'm Glad. What about you, Amicus?
No, I think Gladiators will take it.
Okay, so Gladiators are going to take against London. So that puts Gladiators against New York.
Bye, Gladiators.
Bye.
No, yeah, no offense.
Can I just say, though,
your shields won't be enough.
How many? Because you got to think, you know, Overwatch League is probably more global and spread out than, say, the NFL in terms of fan bases. Mm-hmm. However, you still got to think that there's probably more New York fans in New York than outside of New York.
Oh, definitely. I definitely think there is. So
you got to assume that the people that already have tickets to the finals in Brooklyn, a significant number of them are New York residents and presumably XL fans.
Right.
Most likely.
How pissed would people be if there was some freak upset where like the Gladiators beat them 3-2 or something?
Oh, it'd be chaos.
Down to the finals.
It'd be chaos. Like you go into Brooklyn and you see people walk into the actual Barclays Center like, man, fuck you, or something like that.
Just like lighting shit on fire.
My friend Christian would be so mad.
Pushing over cabs.
He's seriously, like,
dude.
He was like New York all the way. He got mad at me because I had the Muma jersey that you sent me, and he was like, "Nah, man, that's the wrong jersey. You can't be wearing that." I'm like, "Fuck you! I'm gonna have a Muma jersey even if I don't want Houston to win, because it's Muma that I care about." So
I actually I just got an Overwatch World Cup jersey delivered yesterday because the Blizzard Gear store had a fantastic sale where it was like $70 World Cup jerseys for like $10. And when I woke up in the morning, they still had USA jerseys. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, I was in bed on my phone. So I was like, I'll get up and, you know, get ready and I'll go to work and I'll get it. And I get to work and they're all sold out. And I'm like, fuck, man. So they had the UK and they had Canada. So I ended up getting a UK jersey. But today, you know, today was Jersey Thursday, man. So I wore my... Because it's the World Cup and England was playing Belgium today. I wore it in and I got a British coworker. And I was like, hey, man, I got my World Cup jersey on. Let's go UK. And he's like, the UK isn't in the World Cup. It's England. And I was like, sorry. I tried.
Man, I don't know, man. South Korea's taking over the main sports, too. That World Cup against... who they beat?
Like, I don't remember who they beat, but it was some team that, because South Korea is out of it, but whoever they beat, they kind of helped keep Mexico's run alive. Because I saw some video in outside the stadium where there was like one South Korean guy and these Mexicans just made like a parade for him.
Yeah. We like you, man. We like you.
It's so interesting to me just how popular soccer is globally when there's like next to no interest in the US.
Right. Oh no, it's like a big thing. Like it's next to the Olympics, probably more than the Olympics if you think about it. Like it's more important because it's like the only time where everyone in the world like shuts up about anything political and just be like, all right, let's talk about soccer, football.
Yep,
yeah, absolutely. But that gets violent, bro.
It's violent. I mean, it'd get violent over a sport rather than anything else.
Yeah.
All right, but we're all pretty much dead set. The finals are going to be New York versus LA Valiant.
Yeah, and so then that kind of makes me think, like, we kind of just saw that play out, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think XL lets that happen.
See, because here's the thing. I'm still under the mindset that, okay, it's
their hometown.
It's six Koreans. It's not their hometown. So, having said that, though.
But it's also six Koreans. End sentence. Period.
Yes, but also Los Angeles Valiant wasn't six Koreans. And yet they're actually the only team in the actual Overwatch League who has won the stage championship that hasn't been full Korean roster.
That's true.
So it's possible. But having said that, I'm still thinking New York was under the impression, they got one. We had two. We'll be fine this final. But also, they don't want to be arrogant like that. If they get arrogant like that, then they're going to make mistakes. And there's a guy named... Not mistakes. That's the Jellies. Never mind. Shit! I was trying to make a joke there.
Mistakes is on Boston.
I was trying to make a joke there. Damn. I think
you just made an error. Here's what's going to happen. New York is going to absolutely steamroll Gladiators 5-0, 4-0, whatever, however the scoring works. Mm-hmm. Going to be absolute stomp. And then Valiant is going to really, really struggle against Philly, and it's going to be like a game of inches. And then it's going to be like, man, New York is just going to stomp in this grand final. And then like 2 hours before the grand final start, LA Valiant's going to release a video where it's like a trip to In-N-Out Burger. And it's going to be the entire team crammed into Noah Winston's car. and then he's going to turn around to like all 10 of them and say, this is it. This is the shot. Okay. You either win this fucking game or I'm shit canning all you little bastards and you can go back to working at 7-Eleven. And then the grand finals start and they're over in 20 minutes. LA Valiant fans with massive erections worldwide. Parties in the street.
Oh my God.
But rivers of salt and tears flow through Brooklyn.
Oh.
That is the script. It's been leaked online. I've read it.
Oh my God. That would be beautiful. Just releasing that video would be beautiful. Oh my God. And that all starts in 2 weeks. So the way the gameplay setup will go is there are three matches, or up to three matches per match. So Philly and Boston, they're going to both play on Wednesday, and then they have one more game on Thursday or Friday, possibly. If they tie, if it's 1-1, it goes into a third match, best of five maps. Same thing for the London Spitfire and the Los Angeles Gladiators. Same thing for the semifinal matches against the Valiant in New York. Then the actual finals come. When the finals come, it's going to be one match on Friday, and then at least one match on Saturday. Best of five.
Yeah, it's best of three, best of fives.
Yep.
So, bare minimum, you have to win six maps.
Boy, they better have stuff to fill that void, because if that's a quick match, I'm going to be like, we spent all this money to go for like a 20-minute fight.
Well, and I'm kind of curious because, like, okay, so on a normal broadcast day, a, you know, best of five, if it goes to a 3-2, like, that's about 2 hours for like the full broadcast. Why are we making it two separate days?
I think it's because they're doing it like in the evening or something on Friday for some reason. So it's 7 p.m. Eastern on Friday. That is late, yo. What am I going to do all that Friday? Shit.
Like, the more I think about it, well, they're doing it because that way it's 4 o'clock in California, where most of the esports community lives.
True.
But, I'm just like, why are we doing this on two separate days? Like, why not just make this an all day thing? Or not even all day, but like, okay, at most it goes like 6 hours. And it's like, I guess then we start getting back into the whole stage one like fatigue conversation with like stage one playoffs.
Yeah, but I think they're trying to avoid that. Plus, we don't know what else they've got planned. Jeff might walk on stage and go, oh, by the way, Hero 29, let's go.
Or something. I'm hoping he'll just like walk on stage and be like, oh, by the way, everyone in this stadium, all skins have been unlocked on your accounts. Mic drop.
Please!
And it's like, what is it? God, I was going to say Roadhog. I guess I'll say Moira. Moira now has an exclusive Jeff Kaplan skin. You can see it, right? Put glasses on Moira.
I mean, you just see it. Have her go, unbelievable. It'll be beautiful. It'll be great. Make it happen, Jeff. Do something like that, or it's just Jeff on stage for 4 hours, just sitting there like at the Yule log.
I was just gonna say the Yule log. I want a Jeff Kaplan hero who's just him in an armchair with his leg over his knee, and he just like he's like Mr. Bean, like on the couch, like he just rolls around in his armchair, pew pewing people.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's just sitting there. Doing nothing, just watching, and then occasionally would say stuff.
I would not be surprised if they had a pretty top tier like musical act, because I know that Riot for Worlds always opens up with at least a little bit of like a musical performance.
Get Johnny Cruz out there, get him cosplaying as Lucio. Let's go. Let's have a dance party. There's got to be a halftime show for this. They've got to have something.
If I could meet any of the Overwatch voice actors, oh man, I would probably have to say either Cranky J, Roadhog's voice actor, or I do love Symmetra's voice actress, but I got to go with probably either Roadhog or Darren DePaul that does Reinhardt.
Oh, yeah. Those are good ones. I had a very interesting experience with Lucy Pohl, who's Mercy's voice actress. Mm-hmm. So she was doing a live show in L.A., and she's from New York, so she's or Germany originally, but she does shows in New York. Well, she did an exclusive show out in L.A., and me, my friend Chia, my friend Christian, we all went out to watch the performance. It was a small, like, little small black box theater production. So it was very intimate. We get in the area. We're looking around. All of a sudden, I hear some guy yell, "I need healing!" And it's like one of the fans. I look over to the door. In walks the voice actor for Genji. In walks the voice actor for Zenyatta. And then the moment, the voice actress for D.Va.
Oh, nice, Charlotte Chung.
I was like, it's D.Va, it's D.Va, it's D.Va. So that happened, but then we keep going. It's the performance starts. And the thing is she interacts with you on the stage. So like if you're right up front, I'm in the front row. So she's interacting with me every now and then. Like, and she says something like she said something like, it sounds exciting. Yeah? And I go, yeah, she goes, yeah, you really like that now, do you? And then walks away. But the best part of the entire thing was during one sketch. So she talks about how she was getting a phone call from her lover's ex-girlfriend or something.
As you do.
And she's like, oh God, it's her. You answer. And she points to this guy who's sitting right beside me. And he's like, I don't know what to do, because he's never had improv before. So he's like, no, answer the phone, answer the phone. And she didn't actually have a phone. It's like just, it's pantomiming. So she's handing him the phone. He's not doing anything. I get annoyed because I'm watching this and he's not doing anything. He holds the phone like an idiot. So I pantomime taking it from his hand and going, hello? As soon as I do that, the entire audience busts out laughing. She starts laughing, breaks character.
Nice.
I was like, nice. I made Lucy Pohl laugh. That's awesome. So, and then after the show, I went up to her and she recognized me. She's like, that was awesome. So she is an awesome, awesome lady. She's not star, like anything. She is down to earth and amazing. And even like when after the show, when you go out and you take pictures, like the rest of the people there, they're kind of reserved, like Charlotte Chung and the Zenyatta and the Genji actor, because they're a little more well-known in the voice actor community. So they're like, you know, they got that little celebrity status. So they're just like sitting there like, we don't really want to deal with people. Lucy Pohl, on the other hand, who's completely not at that point yet, she comes out and she goes, you guys aren't taking pictures with them? Take pictures with them! It's pretty funny, and she is awesome. So it was really cool.
Every time I see Johnny Cruz and Charlotte Chung interact, I ship the two of them together. So I ship badly. It. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I can't, like, I know she probably actually has a real life boyfriend, but like
they're adorable, dude, together.
They are. Even so, even if it's not like them getting together, just put Lucio and D.Va together. Just go do it. Make a cannon.
I like the smush motion you made with your hands.
Just do it. It's got to happen. Or is it like this, you mean? Anyways. none of y'all can see that. But I want to talk about one last thing before finishing up or anything. So, did last time we talked, did we talk about the, like, the official All-Star roster?
A little bit, yeah.
The official, like the one that was actually announced.
Oh, no, I don't think we did.
Okay. It's basically, it's basically an all Korean, like, all-star, except two guys.
That's like Custa and Seagull.
It's Custa, right? And Seagull. And I'm like, what?
So I was actually pretty proud. For Pacific, I picked almost the entire lineup correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I'm really disappointed that they didn't have a rule like how League of Legends does it, where it's you can only have maximum two players from any one team. Because it's basically a grab bag of Pacific players against XL.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, dude, you know, yeah, they're good, but like, limit it, man. Like, get some diversity in, because the point of an all-star match is to see this kind of mix and match, like fantasy team, not to see an existing team.
Right. Or, but the, or I was perfectly fine with how the Pacific roster came out, like you said, specifically because I wanted Fissure and Gaguri being the tanks. Because Fissure's already an amazing tank. We all know Gaguri can be a really good tank.
Yeah.
So seeing them two like play together is going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah, I was really happy about that. I definitely voted for those two.
It might actually be the only time Gaguri wins something too. So,
well, again, might be the operative word.
Might be. But I mean, of the, I kind of expected Sabiobi and Pine were going to be in there at least, just to be the people for the Atlantic division. But I mean, you got what about Fraggy, dude? Like, Fraggy could have been on the list here.
He was one of my tanks. I voted for him.
Yeah, and like, who else would have been on the Atlantic? Like, Tivik? He could have been on the list.
I voted for Tivik. I wanted to see Tivik and Libero, so you'd have insane versatility.
Was Houston on Atlantic too, or are they on Pacific?
No, Houston's Atlantic.
Okay. Like, you could add Muma. At least one person from Houston.
I think I had Muma and Fraggy as my two tanks on Atlantic.
Ooh, that's nasty.
Just because I like them both a lot. I think I had Muma, Fraggy, Prophet, SBB, Ark, and Jonak. I shouldn't have done Prophet, though. I didn't. I ended up kind of regretting that pick.
I had Gamsu and Poco with Tivik and Libro. And I think I had SBB as my tracer. Who did I have my sports again? I don't remember.
But here's,
I kind of wanted to do a troll ballot, which was just like Zappas in all six positions.
It wouldn't let you do it though, would it?
No.
Darn. But I'm just surprised that the Atlantic lineup though, there's only one main tank in the lineup. Like, you look in the other lineup, there's at least two in the lineup there. Like, who of the remaining, like, five players, though, not counting Jonak or Ark, the three of the out of those, who would be a tank? I don't think I've seen Pine tank, have you?
Oh, that's...
That was my question, is they only have one tank in that roster.
Yeah, and we don't want to see Pine tank. We want to see Pine on Widowmaker or Genji.
Everybody that voted for him will be completely disappointed if he's tanking.
Mm-hmm.
That's like... You know, nobody that voted for Seagull on Pacific wants to see him tank.
Right.
Like, yeah. They want to see Seagull Genji.
Yeah, they want to see Seagull Genji. I think you have a better shot of the Pacific side winning just because of people just saying, oh, all New York, let's go. And it's 4 out of 6 people from New York. Like, at least with the Pacific side, you have 2 people from Seoul. Yeah, okay, but you also have more diversity there.
Yep.
But, oh well, I would love to see it be Pacific taking the win against them, just for the fun of it. But
I mean, we'll, I'm curious to see how Seagull and Custa do on a 4 Korean roster.
I think Custa's used to it. I don't think Seagull is as used to it, though.
Probably not.
Well, we'll find out eventually.
Yeah, do we know when the All-Star game is?
I think they announced it at the start. Oh, the festivities kick off Saturday, August 25th, with a series of custom skill matches. And then on Sunday, August 26th, is the Atlantic and Pacific All-Stars go head-to-head in the official All-Star game. So there's going to be, it's going to be like the Pro Bowl, basically, is you're going to have your custom skill matches, like, which is like the longest throw or the longest kick and all that stuff. Like they do in the Pro Bowl. They're going to do something similar for the All-Stars. Please do a Widow battle. Like, do a Widow battle. Like, a 6 players or something.
That's what I was kind of talking about a while back was, I hope it's not all serious. Like, I want to see 6v6, like, No Limits. Or, like, all Torbjorns or something.
Yeah, I want to see some fun stuff. And allow, even allow the fans to, like, make a vote, like, what they want people to do.
So I know that I bring up League of Legends way more than I should on an Overwatch podcast, but one of my favorite things I've seen in esports was from the All-Star match a couple of years ago. They did a game where it was a completely standard League of Legends match with like tournament rules and everything, except for one difference. It was what they called tandem mode, where you had two players on each character. So one person controlled the mouse and one person controlled the keyboard.
Oh, God.
And you would have to be like in perfect sync. And oh, so God. There was just some nuttiness that happened. And I thought that was always a cool idea.
Oh, that's cool. That would be funny to watch. But yeah, so I'm on board. Like, this will be the more fun one where you're just like, it's not serious. It's going to be great. You're going to have a laugh and watching people do stuff and mess up and everything like that. But then right as soon as all this is done, guess what starts? The World Cup.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And it, man, you know, part of me kind of wonders, like, is there going to be like some fan fatigue coming out of this?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Is there going to be player fatigue?
Well, it depends on like who's all going to be a part of it. Like who's all going to be part? Like I just said it. Who's all going to be part of it? Like, is it going to be mostly just the pros from the Overwatch League, or are they going to do a whole new list of people like to be part of it? Is it going to be a hybrid matchup? How's it going to play out? And what are we going to do there? I would like to see like a hybrid, like it be some of, you know, your usual like ones that you remember from the Overwatch League. But I also think you should have a lot more people in there that are new that haven't actually done it yet. Like new talent. I want to see like potential talent come from this. I don't want to see just the same people each year.
Yeah. And I mean, one thing that I've kind of brought up a lot in the past is Heroes of the Storm. I absolutely love the game. And when I do watch it, I really enjoy it. But the season is so long and there's so many regions and matches and teams and rules, and you've got the mid-season brawl, you've got the Crucible, you've got all these different regional, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And as a fan, it's so overwhelming for me that I just don't even try to keep up.
Yeah,
like even though sitting down to just watch a match, like it's very easy to understand what's going on in the match, I have no idea what it means for the storylines of the season that I don't even try to digest it. And it just puts me off completely as a fan because it's fatiguing.
Yeah. Well, we at least know we're going to see the Blizzard Arena again in Los Angeles for at least one of the World Cup finals or the group stages. So September 7th through the 9th is the one over in Burbank, California. But there's also stages in South Korea, in Incheon, from August 17th to the 19th, the one in Bangkok from 14th to the 16th of September, and then Paris from the 21st to the 23rd for group stages. And then the top eight from all of that will be competing at BlizzCon.
And I just want to give a shout out to Team USA with the 200 IQ moves. They saw what happened with Team USA soccer and they were like, you know what, guys, if we host the event, we don't have to qualify. We can actually go to the World Cup if we host it.
Right.
Don't have to worry about getting kicked out by Trinidad and Tobago. Tobago? Oh,
I don't know. Tobago. I have no idea. I've not been following them that much this year.
That's the American education system for you right there, folks.
Ba-ba-ba. But, man, so the whole regular season, it's done. It's gone, man. It's crazy, coming on. Man. It's ridiculous. So I think what would be the best way to end this conversation today would be, what was your favorite moment of all time from at least the first four stages, not counting the playoffs, obviously, because it hasn't happened yet.
God, man.
I know, I'm throwing you right on the spot. There's so
many good ones. Because one of the ones that comes to mind wasn't even in game, but it was that clip I showed you guys of the Texas Showdown where they were doing the yeehaw and they had like the gun sounds and you just kind of had to watch it. But God, there's been so many good moments of sneaky diva bombs and C9s and just craziness.
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't even know, man.
I could tell you what mine is.
What's that?
Profit flipping off the camera.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but like play. Do you have like a play that like?
Oh, okay.
I'm right there with you. Like the Florida Mayhem's like intros, hands down, dude. Like
the when they were doing the tree out.
Woo, yeah, you know, they brought the tree out. Times, well, Zappas's introduction was pretty funny too. All I thought that was that was good. I would
Play wise, I still think it's got to be Carpe's like mid air pulse bomb on Kellex,
right when he ulted.
He was, right when he ulted, going around the corner, and then rewound back, watching her blow up. It was great. Shooting her a little hello at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That was some pro level shit right there. That's still my favorite play of the season.
I think my favorite play is actually kind of our, I don't think it was the very first intro to Pine, but it was like number two where it was like, they were just starting to call him Big Boss. And then it was week one of the season. And it was the Houston game where they were on Ilios well, and he came out on McCree and just 1v6
annihilated the entire team. Everybody. It's like the rest of his team just stood back and let Pine work.
Mm-hmm. I liked Pine's look from stage one then from then on, because I don't like that he got the haircuts.
No, man, I liked the pink ramen hair, man.
Yeah, that was really cool. I couldn't.
No,
I couldn't pull that off. No, no, Pine can only do it. I would say my favorite play though would be there was one where I don't know who was playing against Houston, but a Reinhardt was charging to get I want to say it was either Jake or Linkser. And as he was charging, you see Cool Matt on Diva push him out the way. Push him, like, charging by, just pushing him out of the way to prevent him from getting hit. It was like one of those, no! moments. It was beautiful. But I also would say the reflect from Tavik from Farah, who was up here.
Oh, yeah.
He reflects back. You just hear Uber going, that's disgusting! Get out!
I think I remember that one, actually.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, he just made it look easy, too. It's just like, boom.
But by far, MVP for best commentator of the league is by far Uber. Like, he's by far.
Probably.
I like Uber.
Like,
Uber.
I mean, you can... Like, it's clear how they rank their commentators. Like, it's clear that they have Doa and Monty up top, Uber and Mr. X on number two, and then right at the bottom is Semler and Hex.
Like number seven.
Yeah, like way down. But
they get all the crap games no one wants to commentate.
Right.
I'm fine with Semler. Stuff. I just don't really like Hex all that much.
I'm there with you. I'm not a huge fan of Hex.
I'd like to see how it would be if it was Semler and Uber. Oh, God. That'd be interesting.
That would be kind of fun.
That's clashing auras, man. Like, Semler, I know. Semler is like the chillest, like, I just smoked so much weed, like, type of dude. And Uber is like, I just injected Red Bull into my eyeballs.
If you really want to see a clash, though, put Uber against...
No. Uber is more like on the OC diet.
Yeah. I would say if you want to see a really big clash, if you want a really big clash, put Uber with Monte Cristo. And just enjoy. I think that would be hilarious.
But see, like, Mr. X is perfect, though, for Uber, because he doesn't say shit. He just, like, sits there and lets Uber do his job.
Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking Mr. X, he stands on a box when he commentates.
No, I thought that was confirmed.
I think he's just, like, when I found that, I was like, wait, he's on a box?
I stand on a box when I do this podcast.
Really?
Yeah, man.
That's why he looks so much taller.
I'm actually 4'8" in real life.
Oh. 4'8"? Wow.
No, I'm 5'6" on a good
day.
Okay. I'm still short AF.
5'6", depending on what gas station I walk into. That's bad. Anyways.
I don't
get it either. It was a joke, but I heard it from somewhere.
I think you do.
No, I don't remember. It was from some comedian. I didn't understand it, but everyone was laughing over it. And I was like, I don't get it. Anyways, so what a regular season, though. I would say overall, though, from the regular season, how they've evolved from the preseason into stage 4, you've noticed a lot of changes. Like, from preseason to stage 1, you saw that was its, like, baby stage. And then stage 2 comes around, you see the sponsors come out. Stage 3, the whole desk was modified and everything to, like, have video screens on it. Stage half of stage 3 into stage 4, you had this is a little sad. You had Zoe more as an insider on the side rather than actually, like, doing insights on the desk, which I was kind of bummed about. Because, I mean, I watched that for... it's cool that, like, you know, that you have your insiders there and everything. I watched it for Zoe, though. Because she's awesome. And you could tell she knows how to rock a crowd.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And she's just such the best... She's like a hybrid of, like, Tracer and Mercy, in a way. Like, you just... Like, how you look at her. Like, her hairstyle, her attitude, her spunk.
She could, like... cosplay either.
I always thought of her more as a hybrid between Tracer and Sombra.
I don't know. I see her more
because you can't have like Girl Scout and Girl Scout. Like, she's got a little edge to her.
You don't think Mercy had a little bit of tattoo, man. You don't think Mercy had a little bit of edge back in her day?
Well, she's kind of. You think she's compensating for something?
No. I think, like, she's maybe had.
I gotta project this angelic image.
But she. I think she's. Well, I mean, if you remember, she also has the devil outfit too.
Oh my!
So, Mercy. We're talking about guys. Mercy. We're talking about Mercy, not Zoe. Maybe she does. We don't know. We have to ask her.
Have mercy.
Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. But I would say. Oh, and there was also that moment where who got the cake? It's like someone got a cake in one of the matches or something. Like, it was someone's birthday. Was it not Ryan Force, but when it, who are the analysts again? There's
Puckett, Sideshow,
Golden
Boy.
It was Sideshow. He got a cake or something. And, like, it was his birthday or whatever, and they came out, I was like, "Happy birthday to you." And he just, like, dug into the cake on stream. It was beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Good
times this season.
Good times. And it's not over yet. We still have the finals coming up, which the playoffs start in less than 2 weeks. So be ready for it, because it's going to be tight. It's going to be messy. But all in all, we know New York's going to be in the final. So... Ready for that.
We will certainly be there watching with rapt attention to see which of these teams is going to take that season 1 crown. So, guys, thanks for tuning in. Shoot us your comments. Let us know how you're going to be watching the playoffs, who you think is going to win. My name, again, is Amicus. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Magic of Limbo. And on Battle.net at Magic of Limbo number 1766.
And
you can find. Oh, go ahead.
No, Riggs, you first. You first.
No, did you?
No, go you. For it. Do it.
All right, fine. Find me on Twitter at OneEyeWilly82, and on Battle.net at Riggs number 11720.
Yes, and you can find me Kavo350 on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all those places. I stream. You can check it out. Check me out over there on Twitch. And yeah, you can find the Twitter for the actual podcast as well at Patch Day Podcast on Twitter to comment, follow, and all that stuff.
All right. Well, for all of us here at Let's Break It Down, you guys have a fantastic day and an even better week. And go out and play some Overwatch, because the world could use more heroes.
And go get a hamster wheel.